I have my Bible open once again to the book of Philippians. Please join me there. Before I read to you the text that you see there before you, I'd like to remind you of verse 12, and I will read that to you. I'm going to be covering 14 through 30, you see there, but first of all, in the back of our minds, verse 12. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Do we expect that this working out of salvation to be an easy task? Do we expect the life of the Christian to be one without challenge, without trial or heartache? Do we expect that we who are followers of Christ could grow in our sanctification in a way differently than the life of betrayal and pain that our Lord lived? Are we who are Christians who are told to work out our salvation, are we to expect an easy road with no bumps, no turns, no veering off to the left or right, but just easy sailing, moving along through life into our glorious eternity? Well, by the way, I'm offering this to you, and by your own experiences, you know the answer to that is no. This is not true. Yes, the Christian life is to be a life of joy. We are to be joyful. But in the process of growing, it is also a life of challenges and trials. But these are to be expected. However, I mean, by all means, our Lord said in Matthew 16, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Take up a cross. Not his cross. Your cross. Your trials. Your challenges. Your heartaches. Your stumblings and falterings. But yet holding those and being obedient to the ways of Christ. So I ask the question, how are we to work out our salvation with our crosses in tow? What is to be our attitude toward this work, not for salvation, but a reflection of and the growing and maturing in? What is to be our attitude? Well, now to the text. Paul answers that question. Verse 14. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger in ministry to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice in seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy and errant word. And here is our answer. What is to be our attitude as we work out our salvation? Paul says it very clearly, without grumbling and without disputing. Other words are used in different translations. The New Living Translation says without complaining or arguing. Now, I don't know how some will make it without complaining. That just seems to be the nature of some. But Paul here says we shouldn't be grumblers. We shouldn't be complainers. We shouldn't be ones who dispute. The King James Version, for those of you who hold that translation, it says without murmuring. We should be ones who do not complain, do not grumble, do not have disputations as we are going through the efforts of working out our salvation. Now, in the original language for emphasis, to the point of what things we are to do without grumbling, in the Greek language, the phrase which translates all things is placed at the very beginning of the sentence, which in the Greek language that is done for emphasis. The first thing is the most important. So what are we to do without murmuring? I'm glad I don't talk for a living. Sometimes it just gets hung up. What are we to do? All things. All things are to be done working out our salvation without complaining, without grumbling, and without murmuring. So what is Paul's point? That in all the commands of God, all the practices of the Christian life, all of the working out of salvation that we do, using all of the means of grace that are made available to us, that our actions as we are in conduct of these things do not reveal a rebellion, which would be seen in our complaining. Paul says we are to do all things. I love the Lord's timing with sermons and preparation. This week, Judy and I went down to see our parents, and her cousin, Joyce, was there. Joyce has had breast cancer and has had both breasts removed. And I will never forget what she said. As we were talking with her, she said, "I have never said, why me, but have always said, why not me? All of the treatments, the surgery that she's been through, there was never any grumbling. There was never any complaining. There was never any disputing, why me, Lord? Why would you let such a..." No, that was never a part of her language. It just rang in my ears. And why does Paul encourage us to live our lives without complaining? Look with me at verse 15. "That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish." In short, it means our actions should match our names. Our actions should match who we are. We are children of God. We are the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brothers, sisters of Christ himself. However you might phrase it, the name of Christ is upon us. And so we should reflect that name. Being blameless means to have no murmurings, no deceitful talk, no complaining. And innocent means that we are not calculating. We're not plotting. We're not trying to work an angle. We're not trying to be something less than or more than and trying to find a way. No, we are just who we are. Children of God who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from our sin. And so our verbiage, our actions should reflect who we are. But there's more than this. There's more than this. And that brings glory to God that we reflect who we actually are. But there's another objective in this. The completion of verse 15. Without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We do this. Paul is encouraging us to live our lives without complaint, without mutterings, without disputations, so that we reflect the name of who we are, but more so, so that we would influence this dark and twisted and cruel world that we live in. One commentator says, people who are crooked and twisted are morally warped. Morally warped is the world we live in. But I dare say we do not need Paul to tell us this. We can look out across our world, our surroundings, and see this morally warped world. From the atrocities in Iraq that I spoke of earlier, to the violence in Ferguson, Missouri, to the acceptance of a lifestyle that is an abhorrence to God, that is now considered favored and even enlightened. Did you know that? In our world today, if you profess being a homosexual, you are seen as one who lives an enlightened life. You've actually discovered more of who you are. You know that's the definition of evil? Citing that which is bad as good? And these are just a few. I'm sure it wouldn't take you long to develop your own list. We live in a morally warped world. But Paul says, living the Christian life, working out our salvation without the murmurings, without the complaints, without the disputations, without the arguings, without the plottings, then we actually live as lights shining in this dark, depraved world. What happens to darkness as soon as the light switch is turned on? What happens when you walk into a dark room and you immediately pop on a light? Darkness flees. That is the case here. Just imagine what our world would be like if you weren't here. Imagine what our world would be if the Christian was not here. Tim, it looks like we don't have much influence. I mean, look at the morally, you're saying it's a morally warped world. What influence do we have? Oh, we do. Imagine if the presence of Christianity was non-existent in the world altogether. We would see levels of evil that would stagger. So we do have influence. The Lord's grace is now shining down upon His creation. Every time it rains, every time the sun comes up, the wind blows, the breath you breathe next, that's God's grace. That's God's grace. We, as hard as it may be, are to be those instruments of grace, living our lives, reflecting our name, being that light in that small, dark place that you may visit, work, live in, We are to shine as lights, providing a moral influence. The church, as it meets around the world, is a great light of hope. Do you know where the church is growing the greatest these days? Korea? China? In parts of Africa? Do you know where the greatest tribulation for Christians is these days? Korea? China? Parts of Africa? God's light shining in dark places. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but up on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Each of you who call Jesus Christ Lord, you're a small light. Wherever you travel, wherever you go, you walk into the room, God is there. You walk into a conversation, they know you're a Christian, I dare say the conversation changes. Let the preacher walk in a room, everybody gets holy. Okay, following our process. The what? No grumbling. Why? Because we're children of God. Why? Because we're lights to a dark world. How do we do this? How do we maintain this level of holiness, even though it may ebb and flow? How do we stay lit as lamps? How do we keep that ember burning? Again, verse 16, first few words, holding fast to the word of life. Folks, I can't underscore enough. I did in a sermon 3 weeks ago, but I can't underscore enough the foundational element of the Christian life being the Word of God. Being in the Word daily, knowing the Word, studying the Word, meditating upon the Word, praying upon and with the Word of God. And through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to live the Christian life without mumbling and grumbling and groaning and complaining. And in my mind, as Paul is writing this, I think two individuals come to mind and why they're included in this text. Timothy and Epaphroditus. We know Timothy, the young man who Paul has adopted as his spiritual son, and as he's writing these words about not grumbling and being light, Timothy, I think, comes to mind. A man who has worked with him. He left him behind to work in the church that he had planted. He hears the stories of Timothy. And he says, yes, a son favored. And Epaphroditus, a brother, a fellow worker and soldier in the faith, again, comes to mind as Paul is writing, encouraging the Philippian church. And your two brothers come to mind. Let me ask you, if someone were encouraging another, would your name come to mind as an illustration? Would you come to mind if someone was encouraging another to shine as lights in a dark world? Oh, you know, sister so-and-so, she's just so... Would your name? Would I come to mind and be used as an illustration by another as one who lives a life without grumbling, murmuring, complaining? Would Pastor Tim be used as an illustration in this light? Romans 2. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. See, the Lord allows, ordains the challenges and the trials that come in our life. They're not a surprise to God. He lets his children witness these things, experience these things as a way of teaching, possibly a way of disciplining, but as Paul gives us in Romans, a way of growing us. How many of you in this room are different people because you have withstood the great challenge of your life, and now you look to God and say, as hard as it may be, thank you. You're a light. Because most would expect you to crumble after experiencing the death of a spouse, after going through traumatic surgery, after losing a daughter. They would expect you to crumble, fall away. But no. No, we don't. I remember your husband, Carolyn. Last conversation I had with him, he said, it's okay. It's okay. Why was it okay? Because she was okay and the daughter was okay. Sympathies, the grieving afterwards, horrible. But he was okay. A light. A light. And if there's a need for the world today, it is for we Christians to act like Christians, to reflect our name. We are to be lights in a dark world, shining forth the glory of God. And we are to be people who do all things without grumbling or disputing. After all, we are the children of God, and we are to shine as lights to a dark world. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, shining in lights as lights in a dark world takes character, courage. It takes the strength of the Holy Spirit. It takes more than what we have within us. But through your power, through your enabling, help us to be a brighter light today than we were yesterday. And help us to shine even more the brighter tomorrow than we are today. And through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, let us continue to grow as lights, that we might shine forth that we are indeed the children of God, and that we know our place, and that we are little lights shining in a dark world. In Jesus' holy name, amen.